Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
You're listening to Why Always Us. This is your Manchester City podcast from The Athletic. And just because it's an international break doesn't mean that we're going to keep quiet for a week. So here we are with your City men's team fix. I'm David Mooney. With me is The Athletic City correspondent Sam Lee. Hiya, Sam.
Hello.
How are you doing? Good international break so far?
Is it? Yeah.
This is. I was going to get into this because
we've got a
little peek behind the curtain to start with because this week's show is a little bit smoke and mirrors in typical City style. Sam, you're not really here, are you? Because you're away, aren't you, for the international break? So we've recorded a bit early.
Yeah, and the fact that you said just because it's the international break doesn't mean we're going away, but that literally is the case for next week.
Yeah, you're
well,
not.
I'm not going to be here anyway.
You're not going to be here, but yeah.
Good luck sorting something out. I'm sure you'll get JPB on, but yes. I am away. I'm in Canada. So hello from Canada.
Yeah, enjoy that. But it does mean that when you hear this, everybody, you'll have seen the England games over the weekend. But for us, that hasn't happened yet. All will become clear on why that is important in a few minutes' time as well. But first, if you sign up to The Athletic right now, you can read all of Sam's stuff on City when he's back, of course. And if you sign up now, you'll get 33% off the price of a full subscription. Just go to theathletic.com/ManCityPod. Now, Sam, the reason why it could be important that everybody has seen the England games and we haven't so far is that in the second half of last week's show, we opened the floor for questions from you guys at home. And we asked you to get in touch with questions for Sam. There were plenty on a wide range of topics. If you want to, you can go back and hear us discussing things like Bernardo Silva's situation, John Stones and how he gets back into the team, Rodri, Gundogan, Grealish, all those sorts of things. Plus, there's reaction to that display in the 2-2 draw at Anfield as well. But we also got a lot of questions about Raheem Sterling. And since his form for City has been worrying a lot of people, we wanted to give it a bit of space to be able to discuss it properly. So that's this week's show. Here we go. We'll start with a question, Sam, from Alec Wood. It's very simple. He says, do you believe that Sterling can turn it around?
I'm going to go with yes, just because like putting faith in the ability that he's got and the fact that he's playing in a team where he's always going to get chances. You know, Pep's always going to keep picking him, not in every game, but he's always going to get chances. He's going to get chances to play. He's also going to get chances to score. You know, all those goals that he scored over the years, arriving at the back post, which, you know, Grealish said is really important for him to learn how to do. So I'm going to go with yes. But it has been a while now since he showed his best form. And it'll be an interesting pod because I'm sure there'll be people listening to this who are like, well, I'm sure there'll be some who are like sick to the back teeth of him. And there'll be some who are saying, oh, what are you talking about? Like his runs against PSG were really good. But I mean, what I would say is all this, oh yeah, well, his runs... bollocks of that. Like, where have all the goals gone? You know, stop losing the ball. When you go through on goal, have a shot. Like, this is what I'm saying. I'm kind of frustrated with him because he's so good. And we know he's so good because... So, the criticism of him that I've never bought into has been that, you know, he's a system player and he just scores tap-ins and all this. And I was like, well, is being a system player... Is that an insult? What is that? You know, understanding your tactical duties is... you know, very important part of the job, especially in a Guardiola team. And he also had the commitment to do it, to take his game to new levels, which, to be fair, have, you know, regressed a bit since.
Was it, was he not one of the first to kind of get it as well under Guardiola?
Yeah, I think he probably was. And also, he always had that kind of commitment to it that Sané didn't, for example. I mean, I suppose now it's not like he's at the top of his game, so maybe the Sané comparison is moot now. But as far as their careers at City go, you know, he always kind of applied himself much more, and he implied himself as much as he needed to. So I never bought that as a criticism. But also, it's demonstrably not true, because the thing about can he turn it around and all this is, he's not been terrible for England, has he? Like, he's not just playing badly now and you think, okay, this guy's washed up for whatever reason. Like, he's clearly still a really threatening player. And also, the way he plays for England is fairly different to how he plays for City, and definitely different in terms of how, you know, I would say there's no such kind of rigid tactical structures with England as there is with City. It's kind of just, you know, when Raheem gets the ball, you know, crack on. Or, you know, in the Euros, he came deep a lot of the time. I think I think it was his goal against Germany. You know, he came deep to get the ball. Maybe did he win it on the halfway line? You know, you've got to stay in your position at City. So he has got the individual ability, and we're seeing that with England. But at City, we're not really seeing it. And, you know, I'm not saying he's been a disaster recently, but he's nowhere near the level from the end of 2018-19 and arguably the start of 19-20, the first few games of 19-20.
I want to go back to 19-20, just like, yeah, right before the pandemic started. City played over the Christmas period. They played a game at Wolves. They lost 3-2, but they went 2-0 up. And that was, I remember that being a really, really strange game for Sterling on an individual level, because obviously they got the penalty. They went down to 10 men, they got the penalty. He missed. Guardiola wanted somebody else to take the retake of the penalty when the VAR, yeah, overturned the miss. And Sterling went, yeah, no, like, I'm having it. Yeah,
very clearly, like, yeah, waving his arms like he did Anfield at the weekend.
And, you know, Sterling went, no, I'm having it. And he stepped up again, missed again, but got lucky in that the rebound fell to him and he could pop it into the empty net. And then in the second, yeah, half, he scores a really, really, really good goal. It was a nice little, yeah, it was a run through, a nice little dink over the top of Patricio. Obviously, the rest of the game happens. The City go on to lose 3-2. That's not Sterling's fault. It was a complete catastrophic team performance in the end. And everything seemed okay for him at that point. The pandemic comes along, there's the break, and, you know, everything's kind of meandering along. Then we kind of reached the back end of last season. And I remember around the Southampton game at the Etihad, there was something brewing at that time. Here was what Guardiola said to Sky Sports after that game. City won 5-2. Sterling was a substitute that didn't get on the pitch. And this was a clip from Pep's interview.
The players will decide for their behaviours and how they compete. Now we're arriving at the right moment of the season. In the right moment of the season, when it's not many games, of course, they're going to play the players who helped me a lot during this season, helped the team a lot. The players, I'm going to rotate less. It's going to the players who thinks about, you know, the club and the team. And the rest will sit in the bench.
And then afterwards, City went to Fulham the following weekend and won 3-0. But Sterling was left out entirely. He didn't even travel with the team. Afterwards, in the press conference, this happened.
Just wanted to ask Pep, there was no Raheem Sterling tonight. Is he okay? Is he just resting?
Yeah, he's okay.
Does he come back into the squad for Tuesday night, Pep?
Tomorrow we'll have the training. We'll see.
Just felt like he needed a bit of a rest, yeah?
Eric deserves to be here too. So Nathan Ake will be soon here too. So everybody want to be involved from the beginning. So now it's perfect because we take 6-7 players every game. Everybody's fit. You know, it's working well, or how brilliant we are in our decisions. And after the feed we're going to take, we're going to, you know, to complain or to say why we rotate too much or why the players don't play or didn't play in that game. We miss them. So to win the title, especially the Premier League and all the titles, we need everyone.
Now, there were lots of rumours at that time, Sam. I'm not going to make you go through them again, because I thought the easiest thing to do was just go back to that podcast the week after and find out what we talked about. So this is what you said on that week's show that summed up what had happened that week.
If you remember, in November, it was basically the start of the season. City weren't playing well, and the narrative, fueled by Guardiola, actually, because Guardiola was talking every week about We've got to play three times a week. There's no time to train. It's just recover. We didn't have a preseason. The schedule's bad. We're killing the players, that kind of thing. So he was asked, I think it was after the Burnley game, because City had a Champions League game next and they'd already qualified with two games to spare. The question was another innocent one. You've got a couple of Champions League games now. Are you going to rotate? And that's when he did the, I don't care if people have been here 2 or 3 years and they've won trophies. If they're not performing now, they ain't playing. I found out since that the main person that was aimed at was Laporte. So Wednesday, after the Southampton game, the question was another innocent one. It was, everyone's fit. This is a good position for you, isn't it? And then he did the whole, people who think about the team and not themselves will play. And if they don't think about the team, then they'll be on the bench. And then, roll around Saturday.
Saturday evening.
And this is the mad thing, right? Because Saturday evening, there was the rumour about a bust up. I don't think it mentioned any names, but the player was unhappy about being left out against Southampton, made his case known. So it happened between the rumour, alleges it happened between Guardiola telling the players the team on Wednesday morning and before kickoff. And the rumour was there'd been a bit of a bust up and Pep had bollocked the player and said, no, this isn't how we do things. And then obviously Sterling was left out against Fulham. And then obviously Pep's quotes came out at 10:30, which are kind of like, to go way back to what you were saying about making a point, it's obvious, I think, just from what Pep said after the Wednesday game and the Fulham game when he was asked specifically about Sterling, it's obvious, I would suggest to you, the listener, that something has happened. And obviously because Sterling's denied it, which is fair enough, a lot of fans are either saying, well, just nothing happened, obviously, because Sterling's denied it. Or they've listened to what Guardiola said and gone, okay, well, it's just a bit of a storm in a teacup.
So that's where we were after the Southampton and Fulham games, Sam. I don't really remember at that point if there were any concerns about his form. Because that was in March. But then by the Dortmund tie in early April, I remember thinking that Sterling does not get into my preferred 11 right now.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I wrote about this at the weekend as well. The weekend before the Liverpool game. And just going back to his form then, I remember when City, they won Anfield and then they beat Spurs 3-0 at home the week after last season. He was good in those games. But I think it was probably a lesser version of the situation we've got now where people are like, oh yeah, well, he makes good runs when he plays number 9 or whatever and he threatens the team. Which, to be fair, Pep said as well. But okay. But back then it was, he did really well. He was really threatening it. But he still wasn't scoring goals to the same extent. And I think it was probably because when in the little timeline we did starting at 2019-20 and that Wolves game, it was just before the pandemic, I remember. After that Wolves game, it did get like, I remember writing an article justifying why he was in the team because of all the defensive work rate that he did and the runs and the positioning and everything that Guardiola wants him to do. He was doing that, but he was missing some horrific chances. It was at a time when City were missing a lot of really bad chances, but he was missing most. And I remember then a lot of fans, just from Twitter and whatever, was saying he should come out of the team then. Then the pandemic happened, and he came back, scored loads of goals. Then Leon happened, and then last season kind of came in. And fair enough, in that 2019-20 season, something I should say is not everybody was playing well anyway. Like hardly anyone had a good season that year. I think didn't De Bruyne get player of the year, but basically everyone else was a bit patchy. So it's fair enough that Sterling was as well. His form last season. It wasn't terrible, I don't think, leading up basically to him coming out of the team, but it wasn't the same. The goals weren't quite there with such regularity as they had been in 2018-19 and 2017-18. And then, you're right. Suddenly April came around, and when he was basically one of the stars of that second string team that Guardiola picked in all the Premier League games, when, for the Leeds game and the Chelsea FA Cup semi-final, I suppose also the Chelsea Premier League game, West Ham game as well, possibly. But basically, there was a lot of games at the end of the season when Guardiola was resting people for the Champions League because they just played or they were just about to play. And Sterling was in that team. And that's when he kind of really looked like he was struggling. People were going on about his touch and just running into players or dribbling off the back of the pitch or whatever. That's what he suddenly seems like, really low for.
Is there a problem with that, though, in that obviously when he's in that team, it's really hard to then build form if it is a patchwork team built from players that aren't supposed to, like, just not going to play at the weekend. So you end up building a team in a formation that doesn't really work, but there are 11 available players that you can rotate into the starting 11 for a midweek or for a weekend game when you're focusing on the midweek.
Yeah, exactly. It is difficult. And it's like when... not City, because obviously City do really well particularly in the Carabao Cup. But normally, when teams throw together like a reserve team, like United are a great example of this. United can put out a team of like 11 internationals, but you know when they got beat by West Ham the other week, who played like Mata and Matic and I don't even know, I can't remember. But like the players they put out, you would think they should win this match, but when you just chuck a team together like that, it is difficult to get rhythm. And I think City's players towards the end of the season struggled with that a bit. And it wouldn't be right to judge Sterling by the same standards. But this is one of those heavy statements that I can see being clipped up and put on Twitter while I'm away. But I do think there's been a steady decline in his output at City over the last 2 years. But obviously that's coincided at a time when he's playing really well for England. I can't remember the number now. If I was more professional and, well, less distracted these days, I would have remembered the stat I put in my own article. But it was something like he scored 2 goals in his first like 45 England games, and he scored 16 or 18 in the last 25. So, again, it's not like a general decline as a footballer. Even if he was playing badly for England, we could say, even if we were probably wrong, we could say, well, it looks like he's tailing off. It looks like he's done. What's going on? You know, does he need to change this? Does he need to change that? But because he's still playing well, he's playing really well for England at a time when he's not playing quite so well for City. It's an interesting one. And it's obvious that, to go back to your first question, he can turn it around because he's still working hard. He's still doing it. But I don't know, maybe, does something need to change at City? And what would that be? Would that be, you know, he gets back in on the left? Or Foden, maybe Foden plays on the right. Apparently Foden prefers playing on the right of the attack, which I thought was supposed to be a midfielder, let alone being played out of position on the wrong side.
Let's not open that can of worms right now, shall we?
Let's say he goes on the right, or Raheem goes on the right, or whatever. And let's say he gets a few goals. And then, you know, all of a sudden, the confidence is back. He scores a one-on-one, he scores a penalty, and he's flying again. And all of a sudden, we click and we go, oh, what were we worried about? I don't know. Or maybe, if it's not that, maybe it's when Guardiola leaves. If he signs a contract, or maybe he doesn't sign a contract, maybe he goes. I don't know. Like, it's got to be one of those three options, really, because we are into the last 2 years of his contract now. He's either going to go, he's either going to sign a new one, and then that will either be he starts performing for Guardiola with a run of goals and games, or Guardiola goes, he signs a contract, and he does well under the next manager. I mean, I know that there's three very different scenarios there, and some are more kind of, I don't know, inflammatory, I guess, than the others. But that can be the only thing, really. You know, it's if whether he does really badly or does really well, that's how it's going to happen. So I know it's not really saying a lot, but the Guardiola thing, you know, it was reported in the Telegraph, wasn't it, last week, that him and Guardiola and Sterling sat down at the start of the season, and it was kind of agree to disagree over a few things and move on. But it's a very interesting one with Sterling, because I was speaking to somebody yesterday who knows him inside out, and not knows him to the extent of saying, oh, he's going to do this or he's going to do that, but knows him more than I do, certainly, and, you know, saw him recently. And he goes, I don't see why or how he'd sign that contract at the moment, because he's not happy. And it doesn't, like, Why would you commit to that kind of uncertainty?
Yeah.
You know, if he wants to play more. But at the same time, where's he going to go? And we've said this all summer, you know, when we talked about not just him, but other City players who could have left in the summer, where are they going to go, especially at the moment? But even, I don't know, next summer or the summer after, like, I don't know, couldn't go back to Liverpool, wouldn't go United, I don't know, Chelsea maybe? And then other than that, we've got the Barcelona link. And now I believe they do like him, but it's like the old Phoenix Knights quote, I want a moonwalk, son, but life's a shithouse. Like, our Barca affording Sterling.
Yeah, it's not happening.
So, I mean, look, if that situation changes and they get a big injection of cash or whatever the hell they can do, maybe Gerard Piqué takes another pay cut, then maybe I could see that. But I'd still say that's a long way off because, as far as I know, there's no concrete interest from a big club that Sterling would be interested in going to right now. I might be wrong.
Yeah.
That's an assumption. So with that being said, it's then so far off, him leaving, there's plenty of time for him to kind of play his way back in.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, then we get to the end of last season, where he rather unexpectedly started the Champions League final. I don't think anybody really saw that coming in the run-up to the final. And obviously City didn't perform in that, but it obviously isn't down to him that they didn't perform in that game. In fact, Sterling was one of the players that actually caused Chelsea the odd problem from time to time in that game. But the age-old problem of not taking a shot when he was through or not being decisive in the penalty area was also there.
When Edison picked him out earlier on, just bad touch.
Yeah.
Like Anfield last week, I know we're skipping ahead, but like I said it in the recap of the game. Match of the Day 2 didn't even show his chances at the end when he went through. I've only seen one of them back since, one of the other highlights. But I remember being at Anfield, sitting twice he ran through on goal, or at least in the vague direction of goal, thinking, oh God, if he scores now, it's going to be amazing. He just kind of just meandered away. Like, it's so frustrating. But yeah, anyway, yeah, the Champions League final was...
Yeah.
It was mad that he started, but it was a mad decision from Guardiola. You know, for all the holding midfielders talk, there was also the setup with the pressing, where it left the fullbacks exposed and the fullbacks had to push right up, and then it was basically 2-on-2s or 3-on-2s against City centre-backs and all of that stuff. But moving Foden around and having De Bruyne as a false nine, kind of Foden and De Bruyne were in the same kind of areas and they were limited, and it was just to get Sterling into the team based on what? Like, it was very, very unusual. It was very unusual, yeah.
And then, well, then the summer comes along. He obviously goes away with England, and I remember saying in the build up to the tournament to non City fan friends that I didn't think he deserved a place in the England team because of what his form was like in the back end of last season. And then, lo and behold,
also Foden was playing on the left, so I was like, well, I'll just play Foden.
Just play Foden there. And then, lo and behold, he has a great tournament with England. Wins over Croatia, Czech Republic, Germany. Just absolutely blitzes it, and we think, he's had a good international tournament, reset, new season, let's start again. Obviously no pre-season for City, and because England got all the way to the final, he was really late coming back, and it's a really hard start to the new season. And then he's thrown straight in the opening day against Spurs. So what did that do? How did you think he played in that game?
Well, I think that has to be conditioned by, and I'm going to bring in Nadim here, not in person this week, but he was like, look, if you have like a couple of weeks off from training or whatever, and then you go back to training, that first session is a killer.
Where
you get back up to
really
speed.
Hard.
So he was like, being asked to play in a full Premier League match with barely any training, he was like, no, thank you. Awful. He said it would be absolutely awful. So the fact that Sterling played, and I think he was... I mean, look, the output wasn't great, was it? But in terms of the positioning and trying to force things to happen and stuff, it was all right. It wasn't great. But like I say, in the context of no preseason training and how hard that is, fine. Like, I can't slate him for that because, you know, it was obviously very difficult to do that. And the fact that he could do it and would do it.
Well, I was going to say, does that show a level of trust from Guardiola?
Yeah, it does, I think. But, you know, Guardiola always talks about players who don't need much training to come back in. And Sterling's always been one of those, hasn't he? Like after he doesn't get injured very often. But whenever he has, you know, or whenever he's been away or whatever, Guardiola's always been like him, and Gabriel Jesus can just come back in straight away, no problem. But yeah, mentioning the England thing and the start of this season, you know, Nadim said, because I mentioned Sterling at the end of the Chelsea podcast, and Nadim was like, patience. And I was like, well, patience with Sterling in what sense? Because, you know, we've just talked about how I don't think he's been quite right for just getting on for 2 years now. And you know, the output's declined for sure. So I'm not really sure where patience comes into it exactly. But in terms of the start of this season, because, you know, with these things, maybe it's not all the same problem. It's just you keep getting bad breaks. And maybe the latest bad break is the fact that he did so much for England during the Euros, and it was such a kind of, I guess, an emotional time being in that camp. And he did, obviously, he did so well, so much energy, so much effort. I imagine he'll be so gutted after the final. I've seen an article. So we're recording this on Thursday morning. I've seen an article by Jack Gorn. And I think he's been asked to do a general England thing. But, you know, Stones hasn't played. Sterling's struggling. Kane's struggling. But, you know, Kane, there's other reasons for that. But you think maybe it's just a kind of hangover from the Euros in the sense that everyone's knackered.
Yeah, the other side of it, from a City point of view, one of the things that I think is really unfortunate for someone like John Stones, for instance, is he had a great season last season. He was fantastic and deserved his place in the England team. But it's pretty obvious that because England got to the final and he was playing so well with England, and the fact that he had to then wait for his chance at City, I think he'd have started this season had England not been an international tournament. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah, all things being equal, and you know, you come back, you got 2 or 3 weeks pre-season, and everyone's fit. I don't think you could have not picked him, because it would have gone straight in from last season.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's been unlucky and lost his place to Laporte in a very similar way, but not exactly the same, in a similar way to how obviously he wanted his place back from Laporte last season. So, yeah, so there is that. And, you know, maybe in terms of the patience element, maybe the England players are coming back. And I've heard somebody at work talking about United's England players, maybe, I don't know if it's physical, but maybe, you know, a kind of mental hangover. And I'm not sure exactly how that kind of manifests itself. But that's an interesting thing as well. And maybe it does get to the stage where Sterling plays himself into the season. And, you know, he's flying again. So, yeah, that is possible as well. But, I mean, it is definitely, you know, he can turn it around for whatever reason, but it is definitely the case that, you know, something's not right there. Yeah. And I think because in the media we are quite scared of Raheem Sterling and risking his wrath. And I'm not talking about the stuff he called out a couple of years ago, because obviously, you know, a lot of us reporters, we wouldn't go near that shit anyway. But just in terms of his power now, and you start saying he's had a row and he's done this and he's whatever, you know, if you start getting called out by Raheem Sterling, you're in a difficult position. Yeah. And you remember when, and again, to kind of tie in all the England stuff, the City stuff, the going into the Euro stuff, the Nadim stuff, actually, when Sterling was asked after that first England game if he justified his selection, do you remember he was like, he looked genuinely surprised, didn't he? And he was like, trying. But like, fuck me, City fans, and I'm sure a lot of City fans who'd kind of been frustrated with him, or maybe even slating him, they were going, "Oh, stupid reporter! What's she asking
that
for?"
Yeah, yeah, you don't like. That's not a question. You don't ask that question. That's I remember thinking that was a bad question. Yeah.
Do you really? Well, I thought it was fair enough, and I said this to Nadim, and Nadim was like, "Well, why are you bringing that to Sterling? Because do you think Raheem is going to be listening to all the stuff on the outside? Like for him, there's no question whether he's going to be in the England team or not, because he always has been. So for him, it's not even in question. It's not even in doubt. Why would you ask him that? But I'm thinking, from a media point of view, there's loads of fans going into that tournament, as we'd already discussed, thinking this guy shouldn't play. He didn't finish the season well. Foden's playing on the left instead, so Foden may as well play. Sancho's stock was higher then, so there was an argument for Sancho on the right. You know, there was a lot of people going into that game. And, you know, England fans haven't always got Sterling either. And that's what my article was about, really. England fans started to appreciate him now and see what City fans see. But also now City fans are kind of seeing what England fans saw for so long. It's a weird reversal. But, like, England fans have never really been sold on Sterling. Even, you know, his goal output has been improving over 2 years. Nearly three, actually. But not to the extent they did in the Euros when it kind of burst into life, and now everyone's like, oh, a lot of people are like, okay, yeah, he is really good. But by that point, there was a question around people didn't want him to play. So I think a fair question to ask. I mean, maybe a bad question in terms of, oh God, don't ask the guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you're going to ask the question, I think it goes to the manager.
Possibly. But also, it's an open goal, which, no, I'm not going to make that joke. It's an open goal for Sterling to say, well, yeah, I have. Like, I've always believed in my form, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, to be fair, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been chippy about it, because I probably would have been as well. I'd have been more of a dick, I imagine. But it was an opportunity for him to say, well, yeah, like, I've always done really well for my country. I'm scoring a load of goals, and I scored today. And yeah, I mean, look, yeah, like, I probably wouldn't have been so eloquent in the moment either. But I remember it not being a bad question. And also, I think it was not a bad question because there was a lot of debate about it, and because we're having this conversation now. You know, what is going on with Sterling? And I think that row is, you know, that row is obviously part of it for sure. Like that, we can't downplay that. Look, we are scared in the media talking about it too much. And I spoke to somebody else who knows him, and somebody who knows him better than the person I was speaking to recently. I was speaking to him in the summer about City stuff, and he was like, oh, it doesn't look like Kane's happening. I was like, oh, I don't know, we'll see. And he was like, they're going to need to get rid of a few players. I was like, yeah, there's a few options. And he was like, oh, who? And we ran through him, and he was like, and I was like, Raheem. He was like, well, he goes, yeah, but he was like, that's not really been reported that much, has it? And I was like, no. And he was like, why? He was like, why? I was like, if anyone talks about Sterling in a negative sense, like now, it's just like when he downplayed that row in the first place because it was that stupid Reddit rumor, you know. So on that clip of me waffling on before that you played, which was really hard to listen to, we talked about the reports coming out, and the player wasn't necessarily named, but on the Sunday there was that screenshot from Reddit saying Sterling, Foden, De Bruyne, blah blah blah, and it was mad and it went everywhere. People were going, have you seen this, and Sterling denied that. He was like, there's some mad stuff going on today, but it's not true. Well, I mean, I don't know if he denied that or he denied the first one anyway, but it was easier for City fans to believe and understand that was bullshit, because that Reddit version was bullshit. But what was true was the more underground kind of blue moon rumours on the Saturday. And that's why, if you listen to the clip you played asking Pep after the Fulham game, you know, the questions were, oh yeah, where's Raheem today then? He goes, oh, he's all right. Is he going to be back? Because, like, we knew, or we had a good idea at the time that something was going on. We're just trying to dig into it. But by the time he denied it on the Sunday night, it's like, oh God, you've got to be so careful now, because, you know, if you've got Sterling coming out against you, and City coming out against you and playing down this stuff, you know, Guardiola in the next press conference saying, oh, nothing happened or whatever, then it's difficult. I think it's undisputed now, really.
Well, let's bring it back to this season, because after that Spurs game, he's then since been involved in 9 of the following games, 3 starts, Southampton, Wickham and PSG, 6 sub-appearances, and he scored once against Norwich. Here's Guardiola. Guardiola was asked about him ahead of the Liverpool game and after the PSG game, about his performances. This is Guardiola explaining why he went with Sterling against PSG.
Raheem played really good as a striker last game against PSG. He created incredible spaces for all of us. He created one special clear chances, like Donnarumma was exceptional saving, and another one with the left, and the movements he had that we needed in that specific game. With pace, so quality, the start to zero, to pass to zero to 100 movements, or speed, the 0 to 100, he did it exceptional.
So that was Guardiola before the PSG game. Couple of questions, Sam. This one from Chris Booth. He says, should Sterling be given a run of games in the central forward role? I feel like he only has done it in patches previously. Thought he looked bright versus PSG and Liverpool. And then Erdon asks, where do you see Sterling's game time coming from? Will it be mainly in centre forward?
I don't like the centre forward thing. And again, maybe this isn't me having patience, and maybe I'll need to give it more time to get over the Euros, if that's the case, to get used to the position. But I think Torres is better as a number 9. He looks more ready at the moment. Although I'm not fully convinced. You know, I don't think he's going to be the clinical answer. He might get City by in a few games this season, but I don't think he's going to be good enough to go with him in a big game when Guardiola can just go, okay, we're going back to false 9 or whatever, which he's obviously done at Chelsea and Liverpool. I don't like the striker thing. I don't know. Torres seems a bit more capable of hold up play and link up play, and Sterling's touch isn't great compared to Grealish and Mahrez, is it? Like, it's obviously, you know, he's a Premier League footballer, but compared to those two who just trap it and carry on, like, it does kind of, you know, it just kind of lets, if there's a switch of play, kind of lets it hit his knees or his stomach and let it bounce. It's just a bit untidy. So the link-up play, dropping off back to goal, I think Torres is a bit better at that, although I've said a million times, if he's having a bad game, he doesn't. You won't see him. Obviously, he scored a couple of goals for Spain again, and people will be keen to see him, and I'm sure we will see him. But okay, yeah. Long story short, I prefer Torres there. And where's he going to play? I don't know, because now you've got the case where I guess Foden, if everyone's back from international break fit and all things being equal again, I guess Foden will play on the left after the international break. So then you've got a situation where people will be talking about Grealish, and maybe Grealish goes into midfield or plays through the middle or whatever, but I guess he'll just have to be on the bench for a bit because, you know, that's normal rotation. But then where does that leave Sterling, which was always the situation in the summer? Like, if Grealish does play on the left for a bit before he goes into midfield, where does that leave Sterling? And the other answer is the right-hand side. Now, people are asking about centre-forward. I want to see him on the right. That was my question to Guardiola last Friday.
I was going to say, you asked him that question, and I've got his answer. So let's have a listen to what Guardiola said in response to, should Raheem Sterling play on the right?
No, he can play there. But the start of the season, Gabriel there in that position, that they play really, really good. For that game, we need especially guys like with his one against ones with Jacques and Riyad could attract more opponents to the PSG players to create the spaces in other areas. And we need more specific, but we need a guy who runs in behind from right to left. Raheem is the best that we have in our squad. It depends sometimes of the opponents or the way we want to attack, or the specific players that we need. Sometimes we need a specific quality for that. But I would say Raheem can play good in right, 100 points, play good, incredible, good in left with 98. And as a striker, I always have the sense, the movements always create something for himself in front of the goal. So like Ferran, both are so good making movements in behind in that game, especially the way he trained in the last week. So I thought he was able to do good performance that he has done.
So that was obviously Guardiola ahead of the Liverpool game again, talking about Sterling on the right. Cam asks, is it time to give Raheem a run of games on the right? Jesus was industrious against Liverpool, but we were toothless on that side. Sterling's out of form, but how is he going to improve if he's warming the bench?
Well, good question. But this is the thing, like in football, we want everything to be resolved and have a nice, tidy, you know,
story
ending
arc.
Really, but there isn't one at the moment. You know, how is he going to improve without playing? And he's not going to, is he? You know, but where is he going to play? Is he going to play on the right? Jesus, you know, Mario started at Spurs as well, didn't he? But then he hasn't started a Premier League game since. Jesus obviously then did really well in the second and third games against Norwich and Arsenal. And then when it came to Chelsea and Liverpool, Pep obviously wanted hard-working, high-pressing players. And Jesus, you know, that's what you're getting. And he did really well on the right in both games, particularly Anfield, even though he scored at Chelsea. So you've got a situation where Mahrez isn't in the team either. And he's played very similar minutes to Sterling. I think he started both Champions League games and the League Cup game, but one in the Premier League. Sterling's played two in the Premier League, started two in the Premier League, one Champions League game and one League Cup. So they both had the same amount of starts, which isn't enough. So you've both got them potentially vying for minutes on the right, but you've got Jesus there as well. So it is a tricky one. It is like, I don't know what the answer is. I would like to see him on the right. But yeah, as you know, I asked Guardiola, and I asked him in the way that I kind of have to now, where I'm like, look, I know Sterling's really good, but what do you reckon playing him on the right hand side a bit more? And he, you know, he was like, he can play really well on the left, which I know he can play. He says he can play well enough through the middle, which I'm not sure about. But okay, if Pep says it, then he knows more than I do. He can play really well on the right, but he doesn't play him on the right very often, does he?
Well, just on what he said about playing through the middle, because he kept talking about the movement that he makes and it creates opportunities, and like, I understand that, but if it creates opportunities that City don't take, do you see what I mean? Yeah. Is there a point to it?
Yeah, for other people who can't score anyway. Yeah and it's like,
because if City aren't going to take those chances, then why not shuffle it round to get Sterling in a position where he might improve his own form? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's probably also So Guardiola said about the PSG game, like, it came down to, you know, how he picks the team based on efforts in training and that kind of thing. So he said Sterling had been training really well. So, you know, he played him through the middle. And obviously he made those kind of runs to create opportunities for other people, which is, you know, fine in theory. Although, because I suppose you've got to expect that the others are going to save, you know, score those chances. So fine. So obviously there's something in training where, you know, Pep just had that feeling based on whatever, that Sterling is the right man to come on. And obviously I guess that was also the case against Liverpool. And maybe, you know, he's, I guess, is he faster than Torres? Torres is quick, isn't he? But he's probably faster. But your question about making runs and creating chances for other people, I'm thinking, well, if he's running in behind against Liverpool, what happens when he gets to the box? Would it not be better to put Torres on for that? Because I don't think he's extremely clinical, but I think he's better in front of goal than Sterling is. But again, like, what's the point in me questioning Pep, really? I know that's literally my job, but when it comes to things like this, he knows more than I do, doesn't he?
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Catch all new episodes Thursdays on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Does the last kind of 5 minutes of conversation, though, does that hint to us that the team has evolved? And has it evolved in a way that has almost left Sterling behind? Because it's no longer Sterling on the right, Sané on the left, Aguero through the middle, and City stretch the game, blitz the play like that. It's a lot more intricate. And when you look at that 18-19 season, when he was mainly on the left, you could talk about the classic Raheem Sterling goal. He would cut inside and bend it into the far corner, and City was scoring quite a few of those. And now,
yeah,
the opportunity for him to do that from the left doesn't really seem there, and the opportunity for him to be on the right and stretch the game in the same way that City used to do in 17-18 doesn't seem to be there. So, like, where are they attacking them, and how does and does Sterling have a role in that anymore? And that's not to say that he's not good enough to have a role in the team anymore. It's just to say that maybe he doesn't really fit anymore. Or is that too harsh?
Yeah,
I don't know. Is that too harsh?
But I mean, but you know what, Guard? No, well, I mean, the thing is now with discourse in football, everyone's kind of looking to, I don't know. I feel like if you say anything that's, you know what I'm like anyway? I'm not somebody who says, oh, he's shit, get rid of him. I'm very much not like that at all. But I do also feel like anything that is kind of honest in making a point and having a difficult conversation about this. You know, the other day I tweeted about Cancelo's and his ridiculous passes into the final third over the last three games that City played. And I was like, well, I don't think he's a great defender, because I don't. I think he's very good. But I think, you know, he can have lapses, probably more so than Walker. But I was like, if I just praise his attacking contribution, people are going to say, oh, well, he can't defend, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, if I just say, look, I don't think he's a great defender, not terrible, but not great. But as an attacker, he's fantastic. But then you just get, you know, any kind of things about, any kind of comment about a player or a club that's not positive, it's just immediately open to you getting abuse. So you saying, does he not fit anymore? It's again, it sounds like one of those big statements. And again, probably not helped by our own employers when they crop them up and say, Sam Lee says, Sterling doesn't fit in at Man City anymore. He's declined over 2 years. You know what I mean? This kind of stuff, you know, that's how media's kind of been, you know, we're our own worst enemies in that sense. But I think it's a valid point to make. I don't think it's too harsh, because you're right. The game has changed in the sense that, well, it did at the end of last season when Foden was the one keeping the width on the left and Mario was just cutting in from the right. Neither of those things that Sterling does. But, you know, Grealish started the season on the left and he cut in. There'll be games when Pep wants that. You know, there'll be games when he wants a false nine. There'll be not games when he wants a nine running in behind. So I think there'll be opportunities. But, I mean, it is end of last season in particular, it was a fair point in terms of not fitting in. But I think, you know, he will have a role. And ultimately, if he gets back in the team and starts playing well and scoring again, it'd be one of those where Pep will just go, okay, well, we'll go inverted on the left. Because don't forget, at Christmas, when things were turning, well, after Christmas, when things had turned around, Pep was like, oh yeah, we went back to ABC, wingers wide. And like, Sterling was on the right for a bit of that. But Mahrez soon came into the team, and that inverted winger on the right hand side came back in, and that was because Mahrez was playing so well. So yeah. Sterling could do that on the left, I think.
If Jesus is stretching the pitch on the right hand side, then there's no reason to think that it couldn't be exactly the opposite last season.
I think so.
Yeah. Going to finish, Sam, with a question from Dig Vijay, who asked us, why is Sterling getting so much criticism? He's been decent. He got goals and assists even when he had an off season. His runs behind the defence and positioning is one of the best in the world. He's probably the best striking option right now. Pep asks him to do a particular thing and he does it. That's why Pep plays him. When he comes on, he creates so much space for others through his dummy runs. He's doing good right now. Why do the vast majority not feel it? Also, I would like to hear about his contract situation. So, the contract thing we'll come to in a minute, Sam. First off, reaction to the question.
Yeah, well, he's been decent. What does that mean? Like I said before, and this basically ties into why don't other people see it? It's for everything we've just been talking about. He's not played at his level, his best level, for 2 years. I remember after the Watford game, he didn't play against that Watford game when City won 8-0, but it was around that time when he'd started the season really well. Was that in Ducker's piece as well? He was annoyed that he didn't play in that game because he thought he could, you know, go and score a load of goals. And that was on the back of 18-19 when he did really well, came into the season, and people were talking about him being, one of the best forwards in Europe, which is the world, actually. So it would have been one of the best forwards in the world, but I guess people didn't feel comfortable saying that. And it was around the time when Hazard moved to Real Madrid, and people were saying, well, you know, he's as good as Hazard, he's more consistent and all of this. That seems like it forever ago. You know, even if he is playing decent, which I've said, you know, he's playing well enough at the moment in terms of, you know, making runs and that kind of thing. But it's not Sterling's level. And that's why, if I'm going to answer on behalf of other people, but also just give my own view, like that's why it doesn't look like he's up to much at the minute, because the goals are gone, you know, and he's missing chances and he's kind of losing the ball easily. And these kind of things. So yeah, like okay, making the right runs, fine. But fuck, gonna have a City. By the end of the season, by this logic, City gonna have a team of people who make the right fucking runs and don't score any goals. I'm gonna write 50 articles saying didn't they play well? Shame they didn't win, but they played bloody well. Like that's the way the season's going at the moment. Obviously, it's not. I said on the podcast last week. I'm sure they'll have if they play with that kind of commitment in the games against, you know, Burnley and Southampton or whatever, which obviously they didn't against Southampton. But going forward, if they play with that kind of energy and commitment, then they'll score enough goals from the chances they create. But if we're just going, oh yeah, well, the runs are good, then, you know, we're not going to get anywhere. And I know I wrote an article a bit on Torres' runs after the Arsenal game, but it's Movement FC at the moment as far as the number nines are concerned. Like, okay, fine, the runs are good, but you know,
get the ball in the net, lads.
Yeah. City didn't want to spend 150 million on Kane because he makes good runs. You know, it scores the goals. So, okay. And again, I go back to the point of maybe there's some kind of hangover from the Euros and patience coming in there. But I mean, if the question is why are people disappointed in Sterling's form, I was like, well, I simply refer you to the last 2 years of his form.
Final question.
As for the contract.
Well, I was going to say on the contract, what's the state of play with it? Because it only occurred to me doing the Blue Moon podcast last week that I know he's in negotiations, but I don't know when it expires. So I don't know how long his contract
expires. At the end of next season. So he's in his last two now. So now it's that magic date of if he's not signing one, if it goes into next summer and he's not signed one and he said, like, let's say for argument's sake, he said he's not going to, then it's going to be City cashing in maybe. Because he's only got a year left and his value will have dropped.
Yeah.
But it's better than nothing. So that's what the situation is.
Is he negotiating it himself? He's got no agent?
Yeah, he's got no agent, yeah, which doesn't help. But a contract's easier to negotiate without an agent than a transfer. Because how are you having conversations with Real Madrid and Barcelona if you haven't got somebody to have those conversations? What are you going to do? Do it yourself? Maybe. But it's hard.
It's hard when there's two games a week as well.
And I remember it being said in the summer, you know, I was saying, you know, City would sell him this summer if he says he wants to go. at all this, you know, which we've covered a million times. And there was a couple of reports saying, oh, Sterling's fine. And City is really happy and he's going to sign a contract soon. And I was like, it's one of those where you think, bloody hell, like, am I way off here? Is he going to really sign a contract like that soon? And I was like, but I can't see. Like, even if, let's just say what I think or know is not true. I don't have the info regarding his contract at that point in like June, July. I was like, what? Why would he sign a contract straight away anyway? Like, that just doesn't seem to be the vibe at all. And obviously we're here now, and yeah. City will offer him one or have offered him one. I can't actually tell you if they have or will. But there were discussions in the summer about, okay, yeah, look, welcome back, what's going on? But it would be if you're happy to stay, then great, because you know his value as a player and as an asset and whatever.
Could a new contract and putting pen on paper, could that settle things down and help him recapture the form? Bit of certainty going forward?
But if he doesn't want to, in terms of hypotheticals, if he doesn't want to, then no.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of last season, he was one of these players who would have been happy to move on.
Yeah.
But it's easy to talk about Jesus and Bernardo because they're not going to call you out in the media generally.
Yeah. So I'm going to come back round to the very first question that we asked, Sam, from Alec Wood. Do you believe that Sterling can turn it round?
I'm going to say yeah, for the various reasons we've talked about already. But to be brief, let's suppose that there's some kind of Euros hangover, so patience there, okay. Even if not the case, he's playing so well for England that he shows that he's got enough individual ability still, that he's still, you know, still a really good player. I'm sure he'll get opportunities for City, you know, maybe like Stones got his opportunity last year and now Laporte's got his opportunity again. You know, these things happen in football. So we get to run a games. Let's just go with that. And if not, then, you know, we'll see. But yeah, I think there's, you know, he's a good enough player and he's in a good enough team where surely those two things marry up. And if they don't, then, well, be an interesting story. But yeah, we'll have to cross that bridge again later on.
I'll be honest with you, Sam. I'm not ready to see him go just yet.
I'm a big
Sterling fan. I think he's.
Am I right in saying as well that like I can't speak for every City fan, obviously, but like people want him to do well, don't they? People don't dislike him. They might be really frustrated with him, but don't dislike him.
Yeah, I think the way he transformed the City team under Guardiola in 17, 18, 18, 19, I think his performances in those two seasons were, like, there was a point where if Sterling was not in the team, I would look at the team and go, it's going to be hard today. And while he's not at that level anymore, I honestly, like you, believe he can get back to that level, and I would like to see it back at City, because I would hate to see him move on and see him achieve that somewhere else, basically. I think he can still be so good for City, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah, and again, that's kind of why we're talking about this now. And to answer the question about why are people not seeing what he does, like, because what he's doing now is not that. You know, if he's in the team, people are thinking, oh, City got a real chance today. Or if he's not in the team, people aren't thinking, oh, God, no Sterling. If he's not in the team, no one's batting an eyelid at the moment. You know, this might not happen, but if Grealish doesn't play in a couple of games after the international break because Foden does, let's say the front three is Foden, Torres, and Jesus. Then, which is feasible. On form, you'd go with Foden and Jesus, and let's say Torres comes back after the international break and scores another couple of goals for Spain and does really well. Like, blah, 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 oh, Grealish, £100 million, he's not playing. But like nobody's really taken any notice that Sterling's only started two Premier League games. And one of them was as a striker. One of them was the first game. So he really is finding things hard to come by at the moment. So, yeah, it is a bit of a mad situation considering how good he is and considering how big a player he is for England and in English football.
Yeah. Well, everybody listening to this will know how he's done for England over the weekend. We are still in that moment where we'll find out. So we'll come back to you on that in future.
But again, it's not like, you know, even if he scores a hat-trick for England, it's like, that's the whole point, isn't it? He's playing really well for England, but not for City. So yeah, interesting one. But if he does do really well, then I'm sure the hope will be, right, come back, do that for City. And maybe he plays through the middle as a number nine against Burnley and does really well. And there we go. No problem. So yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. That brings us to the end of this week's Why Always Us. Thanks, as ever, to Sam Lee.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back again next week ahead of the Premier League's return. Don't forget, you can sign up to The Athletic right now with a 33% discount. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.